5 years with Didario. I've just enjoyed their values. They support artists and people who value art and creativity, and I think that aligns with what I want for my guitar journey.
You guys love Rig Rundowns. We love Rig Rundowns. Please like and subscribe so we can keep doing these Rig Rundowns.
It would mean a lot.
Hey everyone, this is Chris Keys for Premier Guitar. We are at downtown Nashville at Bridgestone Arena in the Tone Bunker underneath the stage before Katy Perry's big show here in Nashville. How you doing, Devin?
Doing good. How are you?
Real good. This is a fun treat to talk to you because you got some unique setup kind of parameters that we'll get into later. But you're kind of like the rock star pop star in the sense that you've been with Katy for what, 7-8 years now?
Yeah.
And then last year you're also out on the road with Chapel Rowan. So that had been a lot of fun. And I want to go back to, how did you get the gig with Katy?
How did I? It was kind of a word of mouth thing.
Okay.
A friend of a friend referred me to the music director and I did an audition and then did a callback and I was literally how it was.
Really? Yeah. And then so how did it work with Chapel then?
That was also a music director named Heather Baker. I had met her like a couple months prior and then she called me for that.
So yeah. It's not only just, I'm sure, talent that you possess, but also your charisma and your, you know, personality, because there's probably a lot of people that tried out for those gigs. So for you to get both of them, it's kind of, you should feel really good about yourself.
Thanks,
you know
man,
what I mean?
I
like
appreciate
these are huge, huge tours to be on.
No, they're so fun. Yeah.
What do you enjoy about playing these types of shows and the arenas and these types of productions?
Honestly, I feel like it's just like the joy of it all. Like it's way more like, there's way more going on, I feel like, than a lot of the music I grew up playing, which was like more blues rock and stuff.
Yeah.
But I never really pictured myself being on stage with all these props and dancers. So it's just like fun and lively. And I really enjoy that it's kind of a workout. Like,
yeah.
I get to dance and move, you know? And
yeah.
So it's like more than just music. And I feel like that like just stimulates my brain and gets me excited.
Now with Katy's music, you know, the first thing I wouldn't describe it would be guitar centric, but
right.
you're pulling solos off during the show. So
how does
what you do get incorporated into a show that's, you know, a pop show, pop production?
Right. Well, I mean, there's definitely some like iconic guitar parts here and there, like Teenage Dream intro, everybody knows that. But like, yeah, for the most part, you're right. They're like pretty piano heavy, the songs. I feel like for me, like my position is more like textural.
Okay.
Like just like filling in some space, like if it's a verse and it's kind of vibey, like maybe doing some swells here and there. And like a lot of like doubling maybe of keyboard parts. So like if there's a keyboard hit and all these things, like just doubling with rock sounds, that happens a lot. And then a lot of funky guitar too.
Okay.
Like Cali Girls is just like funky, like it's just like a funky clean thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's a lot of parts that are like that throughout the show. So I feel like it's a mix of vibe, funky clean and rock. Some lead here and there, you know?
Yeah. What are your favorite moments when you get to really guitar out, we'll say?
Guitar out, damn. let's see. I love Teenage Dream. It's like one of my favorite songs ever. And so like, I don't get like a solo in that song, but there's like a lead part I get to play a couple times in like the post choruses. So I love doing that just because I love the song. E.T. for a long time, I was playing a solo at the end. They just shortened that for staging, but that was really fun. I love to shred. So I love doing a little solo. Now let's see, what else? I love Wide Awake. It's a beautiful song.
Yeah.
I love doing some swells on that. Yeah.
Now, what kind of go back to sound design? What was that like, you know, back 2017 or 2018 when you did join? How much are you working with front of house, the MD, to get your tones that we'll cover here with the Fractal and the Kemper?
Yeah.
How much are you hands-on in designing what that goes on in the show and what people are hearing?
It's pretty much just what I'm doing over here. I mean, obviously with the MD's input and in front of house too. Yeah, whatever he says, if it's like something's too loud or something's too bright or whatever, he'll give me notes. MD will usually give me notes about different things too that he's hearing. But for the most part, I'm just kind of doing what I think is best. And
that's cool.
The way I've been doing it is like just putting all the songs in Logic and basically like recording my parts, seeing how they fit within the mix, like almost as if I was like out there front of house singing, you know, and just like seeing how they fit within the mix to design the sounds as best as I can.
Now, are you doing that like a night-to-night thing, or is that just kind of like
pre-tour? No, definitely pre-tour. We had like a couple months of rehearsal.
Okay.
So that's like when I'm just like laser-focused, trying to get it to where it feels right, you know? And then once we're tour mode, it's like, don't touch it.
Yeah, it's set and forget.
Just for some reason, things happen, like, and I just don't want to touch it, so there's no errors, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, there's probably a lot going on stage in terms of setup and all the themes and things that get changed throughout the set.
Yeah.
There's a reason we're not upstairs, because there's nothing for us to see up there for in terms of guitar, right?
Right.
There's no switcher.
There's nothing.
So what can you tell us about that goes into what you how you perform and how you're hearing it and how everything else is happening on stage where you're just able to perform and interact with the audience?
It's actually way fun. It's so freeing. Yeah. I mean, I definitely grew up with my pedal board and like played with the pedal board forever. And just being able to be up there and focus on performing is it's like my favorite thing.
Yeah.
You're just so laser focused into playing and vibe. And yeah, it's the best to me.
So all
tap dancing is like no good.
So all the things are coming off of this that you're not even having to worry about anything.
Yeah, all of our sounds that I've made in the Kemper and the Fractal, basically our playback guy triggers them. So basically a verse, he triggers a part. Chorus, he triggers a part. They're all different preset numbers. So they're just there.
Yeah. Now, were you well versed in the digital modeler stuff before you came on board with Katie in 2017, or is this something you kind of learned?
So yeah, kind of both. I was knowledgeable about the Fractal. I had used it on a prior gig. A really cool guitar tech. He showed me how to use it. He like taught me it. So
okay.
I knew how to use the Fractal. So when I joined the Katie band, I was basically just using Fractal, and they already had Fractals with their whole gear, so it was perfect. And then I got a Kemper, I don't know, like maybe 3 or 4 years later.
Okay.
And then I fell in love with that. And I was like, damn, I love them both.
Yeah.
So I just taught myself the Kemper and then had a lot of friends like send me some sounds. And so, yeah, the Kemper, I'm like more learning myself and whatnot. But yeah.
What was the previous gig that you had where you learned the Fractal?
It was Zane Malik.
Okay.
He's from One Direction.
Yeah. What was that experience like?
You know, it wasn't the longest gig. I wasn't like there that long. I think we did a few shows and then I think there was maybe going to be a tour, but maybe there wasn't. I'm not sure. But then we ended up just not doing anything. But it was great. I learned a lot. I think it was like maybe one of my first like pop gigs, you know, so where I was actually like making good money and like doing some shows, you know.
Now your first call for the pop Rolodex.
And let's go. I'll take it.
Well, Devin, let's talk guitars. Want to pull out a guitar and show us, talk to us about it?
Sure. Yeah, let's go for it. This is like my newfound love.
Okay.
So I had never owned a PRS guitar before, and this is the PRS. I think it's Fiore.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's got two single coils humbucker. It to me just feels kind of like a beefier, maybe more mid-range Strat. So it's very similar to my Strat, but it's got a bit of a different vibe and character. So between this and the Strat, I feel like those are maybe like my like
the ones you use the most.
Main, just because I kind of grew up on a Strat, so like that's like the sonic character I like gravitate towards.
Now we kind of peek at all the guitars before we started rolling, and they all have a similar look. They're all silver or silver burst.
Right.
Because this one does not come in silver, right? So you have to like, is it wrapped or what?
Yes,
is it painted?
It is, yeah. So it's actually like bright orange under here.
Okay.
We've got this silver tape that's wrapping it, yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Is it like electrical tape or like shielding?
That's a great question. I have no idea.
Did you do it?
Nope, I did not. One of our carpenters wrapped it. Yeah, Galen, our amazing, amazing guitar tech.
Yeah.
He took it apart and then one of the carpenters wrapped it and then here we go.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, how did you get into the PRS world? Because you said you're a Strat girl.
Yeah, I never really played a PRS before. And then we were rehearsing at Center Staging in LA.
Okay.
And when the rep for PRS, he got in touch with me over there. And he just like kept giving me guitars to try. And he was so sweet, so wonderful. And I actually just like fell in love with this guitar. And then he let me play it on tour. And I was like, let's go. So stoked.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, what strings do you use on all your guitars?
I use just D'Addario 10 to 46.
All right.
Pretty standard.
And is that all through all four guitars we'll see today?
Right. The acoustic, I think I've got 11s on. I'm not exactly sure what on the acoustic, but yeah, all of the electrics are the same.
And are there any tuning changes? Is it standard? What goes on there with
the show? Yeah, we do drop D quite a few times. Galen's doing that down here and then handing me the guitar.
Ready to rock.
Ready to rock, yeah.
Should we see another guitar?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
This is the American Professional 2 Stratocaster, which I am a huge fan of. I did a demo for this guitar a while back for Fender, and I just fell in love with the guitar when I did the demo. I was like, damn, this is like my go-to Strat vibe, you know? It's just perfect, like the humbucker in the bridge here. The splitting feature is just the best I've ever heard, and so it's like really nice to have that. Like just the split coil that actually just really conveys what you want it to.
So it's kind of like it'd be like a standard Strat, like with the single coil?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Yep. Yeah, it's just an all-around great guitar with like an amazing feeling neck, like just the easiest to play. This is a dreamboat Strat for sure.
Is the Strat configuration that you most like, is that humbucker single?
For a pop gig, I would say, yeah, 100%, just because you need that humbucker like more often than not. But I mean, I love a normal Strat too, but I definitely gravitate towards having the option here for a humbucker.
And throughout a set or whenever you're playing this guitar, are you switching the pickup positions? Or are you kind of in the five spot or the one spot, I guess?
I'm switching all over. I really use the middle, but everything else I'm switching between quite a bit, yeah.
And is that something you've had predetermined in your head, or is it just a feel thing?
No, definitely predetermined with like the sounds that I'm working on. Yeah, I try to like specific, like, how specific can I get it so it just like fits that area the most.
Yeah. Let's meet a new friend, another one.
Let's go for it. So this is the Ernie Ball Music Man Stingray 2.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
This is made in collaboration with Corey Wong, and it was painted for our tour, so... It's magical color. I really like it. And yeah, Tim at Ernie Ball basically just gave us a bunch of guitars to try out. And this one I also fell in love with. This was during our rehearsal period. And so he had this one made for our tour, and I fucking dig it. It's just basically like, to me, like it's a really great like rock country, crunchy sound. I'm just playing like some power chords, and it's just like kind of standard rock vibe. Mm-hmm. This one kills it. Yeah, it like almost gives me like Les Paul feel without being a Les Paul.
Yeah.
And it's way like lighter. It's like really interesting. I dig it.
What do you go for when you know, whether it's Ernie Ball, PRS, or the guitar store, what are you looking for? What's the connection you're trying to find in a new instrument when you're testing them out or getting a handful of them and, you know, like a rep's like, hey, pick the one you want. What are you going for?
Kind of just like filling a space that I might need to fill sonically, like within the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, I mean, look as well, I would say for sure. Like, cause like the next one I'll show you is like so rock and roll looking, you know? But yeah, it's just kind of like, okay, what sonic sound does this guitar not have that this one has that I can kind of bounce between the two? Like when a song needs more beef or when a song needs more sparkle, like how can I just pick the smallest amount of guitars, but most versatile to cover all the bases.
So that would trump maybe feel how a neck feels to you versus...
Actually, no, that doesn't try. I forgot that. The feel is huge for me. 100%. Yeah. And luckily, all these necks feel so good.
Yeah.
They're all very, like, not even very different, but slightly different, but they're all just perfect for my hands specifically. Yeah.
Well, you had mentioned one last guitar. Let's hear this rock and roll machine.
Let's go.
Oh, yeah. That is
right.
A rocker.
Yeah. She is a dreamy rocker over here. This is the St. Vincent model by Ernie Ball Music Man. Also gifted by Tim, and the paint job you could see is also for the tour.
Love it.
Yeah, this one, I really, really like this one. It's kind of a little bit more silver, I would say, rather than gray.
Yeah.
I think it's sick. But yeah, this guitar is also just so rock and roll. I love it. I use this one on Kissed a Girl just because the vibe is just like, let's go, you know? And these mini humbuckers are sweet, too. They have a nice balance between like chime and beef, and so that's kind of fun.
And so all your guitar changes throughout the night, you know exactly which ones you're getting. Galen, your tech, who's a wonderful, just feed them to you.
Yep.
So like you already know, like I Kissed a Girl, this one's coming out.
Yep.
Is there any other songs that this one gets used for?
Yeah, we do an acoustic set where I'm doing like this Ebo part.
Oh, okay.
Kind of throughout, it's just like a soft song, but. I'm on this guitar, just eboing away. We're out, me and the keyboard player are out in the center of the stage, just like chilling there.
Now, I do want to give a shout out quick to an acoustic guitar that you have here.
Let's do that.
Quick.
So this is the Taylor 814, wrapped in silver tape as well.
Love
and
it.
So I use this for our acoustic
Just as Bob Taylor would intend.
Oh, okay. You know what I mean? Yes.
Like, yeah, why not put some tape on it?
Why not? Yeah, it doesn't deaden the sound at all.
No.
Actually, I have no idea. Yeah. I haven't really A-B'd that, but I'm sure it probably does alter a bit. But yeah, it is. We got it set up where the tone knobs need to be. That was thanks to our front of house.
Yeah.
He was like, no, I need it to be there. And yeah, it's just that I feel like it's a great solid acoustic. Feels awesome.
How often or how many songs are you playing acoustic?
It is just 1, 2, 3 okay. throughout the show. Yeah, we have a little acoustic set in the middle of the whole show.
Right on.
So that's where this baby comes out. Yeah.
Killer. Well, maybe grab a guitar of your choice, and let's dive into this Kemper Fractal setup.
Cool.
Hey, everybody, I'm John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. So, as many of you know, D'Addario has been a longtime friend of PG, sponsoring Rig Rundowns, and they're a longtime friend of all the players with their Players Circle Rewards. I've been using it for years, and essentially, they will reward you for the gear you buy. Open it up, look inside, there's a reward number. It's free and easy to sign up for. And as soon as you sign up, you immediately get some reward points just for putting your name in. After a while, you accumulate enough where you can buy more of this fantastic D'Addario gear. So as a Players Circle Rewards member, you get discounts on custom products and merch, you get free shipping, and you get a discount on the gear you're buying with your points or free gear, depending on that. And if you're charitable, you could donate your Players Reward points for musical education. So collect those points, buy the great gear, and let's get back to more rundowns.
All right, as you can see, the magic of editing, we have headphones on because there's no speakers, nothing to be heard, but we devised a way to run audio to the cameras, audio to our headphones. So, Devin, show us the craziest sound you got on tap.
Well, yeah, this was a fun, weird one for the song called E.T. Basically, the chorus, I'm playing this part, goes like this.
Super gated?
Super gated, yeah. So basically what we got going on is a super gated reverb.
Okay.
And this is a sound made in the Fractal. And there's a pitch on it, too.
There's a drive.
Drive, yeah. I just think it's a fun, weird sound. Our guitar player from the previous band, his name's Casey, I'm pretty sure he made this sound.
Okay.
And we just like stuck with it because it just copies that sound in the track so well. So basically I've got the Kemper on a just dry signal, and I have like a loop put in it, and so there's nothing going on in this Kemper signal except for a loop, and we have the Fractal running in the effects loop.
Okay.
of the Kemper. So
because I have a small brain.
Sure.
So just so I figured out, like, you're running the Kemper kind of like an amp, and the Fractal's like pedals or pedal board, and it's running into the Fractal. Oh, or I'm sorry, the Kemper.
Kind of.
In the effects loop.
I'm not usually using it like just effects, but sometimes this time right here, basically I'm just using the Kemper almost empty, like no amp, nothing. And I'm using the sound that we had already made in the Fractal, and I have it going through the effects loop.
Okay.
And just because this particular sound, really hard to recreate on the Kemper. It's just like a weird one.
Yeah.
But this is really cool because I really like using both, so it's fun to be able to access both. And it's a cool way to do it. Just put it in the effects loop, and you have your sound already in the Fractal. It's just coming through as if it would just going straight into the Fractal.
I've done this for a long time. I've never seen someone use both.
Okay, cool.
Is that something you knew could work, or like was there some troubleshooting to get them
some troubleshooting just to figure
talk
out
to each other?
Where not necessarily, just kind of figuring out the best routing of it all.
Okay.
But I like using it in the effects loop for now. I think it's super cool. And one of the big reasons why we're doing that is because we have quite a few parts in the show that need sidechain, sidechain is basically like, it's like basically like the volume is dropping like when the kick drum is happening, right?
Okay.
Do you know?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So basically, like, I'll be playing a guitar part, but they want it to, like, if I'm playing, just, like, the volume going in and out with the kick drum. So, like, it has to be synced to the track.
Yeah.
But with the Kemper, you can't do sidechain in any way that we know of. We've done some research, and we couldn't figure it out. So we're using it on the Fractal a lot, just basically having the playback guy trigger a compressor and that would create the sidechain. So what Weird. I've done in any of my patches that need the sidechain is I just put this loop in towards the end of the patch, even if it's like a full Kemper patch, and then I've got the compressor and the fractal, and then it's giving me the sidechain. So it's pretty sick.
Yeah.
It's like a great way to do it. Yeah.
Wow.
So I really like that. I mean, I could show you one of those sidechain patches, but we can't actually have sidechain right now because our playback guy's not obviously not triggering the kick drum. But it's a pretty sick setup. Yeah.
Wow. Man, that's a really smart way to get around. Now, to get around the sound design that you're creating here with the production that Katy Perry puts on every night, how much would you say is the heavy lifting doing between the Kemper and the fractals? Is it 50-50? You're leaning more on the Kemper?
Yeah, leaning, like, Kemper is probably, like, most of it.
Okay.
But with using the fractal for sidechain whenever I need it, and then just a couple patches on the fractal that I've just always liked and didn't want to, like, get rid of.
We only have a few more minutes. Can you cycle through maybe a couple more cool sounds
key
sounds that you use?
Yeah. I really like, so this here's the Teenage Dream intro. And yeah, it's just a basic clean, it's a silver 82 amp. I think I got this from some amp pack that my friend sent me. I'm not exactly sure. But really like it. I love the chorus pedal in the Kemper.
Oh, all right.
So I like to put that on quite a bit. And I really love this Sirius reverb as well. And also I love about this guitar, it's got two push-pull knobs.
Yeah, yeah.
And this one, basically, I think it's these two together. So it's like, yeah, instead of just using the middle pickup,
It's
a little bit more like telly-ish, maybe?
It's a versatile thing.
Yeah, it's like really cool. So I really like that sound. And then I've got chorus, rock. I'm just basically copying the keyboard part in this section.
Okay.
So it's just...
And what's going on there for the amp?
So right in here we've got...
Because that's a different
Atlantis
tone.
M6... single coil, basically. Okay. That's the amp here. This is part of, I think it's a part of the Sela Sounds Kemper pack. The Sela, S-E-L-A-H.
Okay.
Really love their Kemper pack sounds. I use a lot of them. So yeah, I love that. Just kind of cool standard rock sound. And then there's a little lead part. Your basic like clean rock lead. I feel like that's the main thing for pop, and then just a lot of, you know, vibey sounds too. I could give you a little vibe. Oh, you know what, this is a fun sound. Let's do this one. This is a cool delay part. Let me grab the
guitar
port.
All right, so this is Dark Horse we're looking at.
This is Dark Horse. Yeah, I think this is copying a keyboard part with like some fun delay on it. Let's check it out. Fun. I like that part.
Devin, I really appreciate you taking the time. I know that this is a big thing for us to pull off because there's so much going on just to put on the show every night.
Yeah.
But we're getting the wrap it up sign.
Okay.
So I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Thank you. And everyone, stay safe out there and keep watching Rig Rundowns.